Number eight tonight, and I am so thankful tonight on the book of Revelation tonight, what he's doing in this local body church, and he's been a blessing to me. I know it'll be a blessing to you tonight. I want to talk tonight. You got your paper there. Pressed, but blessed. If you're going to be blessed, you're going to have to learn how to deal with pressure. If you're going to be blessed and you're going to realize that you're blessed, you're going to have to realize that pressure is going to come. Anything, I don't care what it is, anything that won't hold pressure, it's of no value. But if it'll hold pressure, when you've been put to the test and you hold that pressure, they'll use that. If a piece, it won't hold up to pressure, you know what they'll do? They'll cull it. That ain't no good. It won't work. But if it'll hold up to the pressure, they'll use it. So tonight, pressed but blessed was the church at Smyrna. And that's what I'm in verse number 8 tonight. And the Bible says tonight, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. For none of those things which thou shalt suffer, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, Lord, we love you and we thank you tonight for allowing us to come to your house, study a portion of your word. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for that tonight. Lord, all over this room tonight, there's been prayer requests lifted up. There's, Father, tonight, we pray for Taylor tonight, Father, as her and the baby get to come home. And Brother Caleb, Lord, we pray you continue to bless them and watch over them. Lord, we pray tonight for Brother Daniel Gaddis as he'll be having back surgery. Father, Lord, I pray you touch him real good. Lord, tonight, all over the room, the unspoken request, we pray that you touch that. The ones that's got a lung cancer tonight, Father, Lord, we pray that you touch that lady tonight. Lord, I just thank you so much that we can study a portion of your word. And Lord God, when we leave this place, we can be better than we was when we come in. And Father, I thank you for that tonight. Lord, I pray you bless the reading of your word. Be with the kids that are in class. Lord, just touch them as real good as well. Father, guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Anything that might be of me, remove it right now. Let me not speak my opinion, but let me speak thus saith the word of God. Lord, I thank you for that tonight. I ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight as we come tonight, pressed but blessed. Here is the church at Smyrna tonight. And as we go through the churches here at Asia Minor, and in chapter number 2 and chapter number 3, we're getting into where the churches was. But tonight, as you read here and you understand, the Lord was pleased with Smyrna. He was pleased with the church at Smyrna. There's two churches that you're going to find out of them that he is pleased with. One is the church at Smyrna. He had nothing bad to say about them. He had no rebuke to them. And it's the church at Philadelphia. Neither one of them churches. And when you study it, he had any rebuke or he had anything, had nothing against them. He had nothing but praise about them. But he found where they were located at and he did nothing but praise them. The Lord was pleased with Smyrna and they received no rebuke from the Lord. The Greek word for Smyrna means suffering, though. This was a church that knew what it was to suffer. They might have suffered, but not from the Lord. The suffering that came did not come from the Lord, but it came their way. And so tonight, let's look at the church that is at Smyrna tonight and what they went through and what they received tonight. Tonight, if you'll look with me in the Word tonight as we start off here, he says in verse number 8, "Unto the angel of the church at Smyrna, write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." He says, "I know thy works and I know thy tribulation." Can I say to you tonight that there was persecution in Smyrna? And tonight we see that persecution came in three different ways. As we look into the Word of God tonight and we expound on this Word, we see tonight that persecution was in Smyrna. And tonight he says, "I know thy works and I know thy tribulation." Tonight, can I say to you that tribulation was in Smyrna? And tonight that tribulation would be this, that would be pressure that was going on in that local body. They were seated right where the seat of Satan was. They were seated in a town that was full of satanic worship and a lot going on there. But he said, you know what? I'm praising you. You're holding your stand right where you're at. Can I say to you tonight that church in America that we live in today used to not be that way? People used to respect the church. People used to have complete respect for the church. But that's about gone out the window. And tonight, there was tribulation in Smyrna. There was pressure or great stress was on them. The Romans wanted to crush them. And I wrote this down tonight, and you'll see in your notes. Pressure is to bring out the best and not the worst in you. Tonight, if you're born again, child of God tonight, and you get under pressure tonight, that pressure that you receive either from the Lord or from Satan, whichever way it comes, pressure comes both ways. But it's not to bring out the worst in you. It is to show the best that is in you. Tonight, as a born again believer, when tribulation comes our way, what we've got to do and we must remind ourselves to do is to let the best come out and not the worst. But if I went around this room tonight and I ask you, when you get in a pressured situation, how do you handle it? Most of us tonight, and I would be the chief of this, not I don't always handle it the right way. Sometimes I blow up, sometimes I act out the way that I shouldn't tonight, but I know that when tribulation comes, I must know that it's some most of the time it is attack of Satan, and that pressure is to bring out the best and not the worst. God lets that go through His hands to show where I'm at in my life. I see the persecution in Smyrna, number one. There's tribulation in Smyrna, but I also see that there is poverty of Smyrna. And He says here tonight, He says, I know thy works, and I know thy tribulation, and I know your poverty. But then He put in the parentheses here, He said, but thou art rich. He said, you know what? Everybody looks at you like you're poor and you're not doing very well. He said, but you know what? You're rich in the mercies of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ tonight. Can I get an amen on that tonight? It's not what's in your bank account is what makes you rich. It's not what's in your 401k. It's not what you've got laid up. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Amen. So it ain't what you've got tonight that makes you rich. What makes you rich is having a relationship with Christ Jesus tonight. He says here, they had to work for what they got. They were considered poor. Tonight in the world we live in, if you have to work and you're making a daily wage, you're considered low class or poor. Most of the people in this room tonight, you're considered low class. Everybody in this room tonight, if you had a job or you got a job, you're going to be on a low class scale. You're not going to be on high class. Now you may live like high class living, but there's always somebody that's above you. And you know what tonight? It's nothing like having the peace of God on your life and not trying to keep up with the Joneses. When you're trying to keep up with the Joneses and you're trying to keep up with everybody else and buying what everybody else has got, trying to live like everybody else, you don't know what it's cost everybody else to get there. Hey, maybe it's so deep in debt that they can't even see, but you'll never know it because they try to hide it. But you know what the Bible says? He said, they think you're poor, but you're rich above measure tonight. They had to work for what they got. They were considered poor, but because they stood for Jesus Christ, it costed them. You know what tonight? If you stand for Christ Jesus, it will cost you. It's going to cost you every time. Brother Bradley, I look over there and you're shaking your head as a man of God tonight, and a bad deal comes your way and you got that trucking company and you know it's a bad deal and you know it won't work and you know you can't go that way and you know you can't accept that. It may cost you in your job. Amen? There's some things as a man of God you just can't do. You can't line up with the world. You got to line up with the Word of God. And you say, preacher, how does that cost me? And how's that going to cost me in my life? Sometimes your faith might cost you a deserved promotion at your job. You deserve that promotion. You deserve to be promoted, but because of your faith, you get overlooked or you get overskipped. It may cause you a position in life because of where you stand and what you do. You may not get what you think you deserve because you're a child of God tonight. But not only does it cost you promotion, not only does it cost you a position, but it will cost you popularity when you stand on the Word of God. You won't no longer be popular when you stand on the Word of God. You won't no longer fit in with the crowd. You won't no longer fit in, but pressure will come your way because you stand for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I've never had that come my way. Well, start standing a little bit more and see what happens. Just stand just a little bit more. Hey, stand up for something you know is wrong this week and see if it don't cost you popularity. See if it don't cost you a position. See if it don't cost you a promotion. See if it don't cost you in your life. I see tonight, number one, there was tribulation in Smyrna. I see, number two, there was poverty. And God knew all this. There was poverty at Smyrna, but also there was blasphemy at Smyrna. Look what he said. I know thy works in verse number 9. I know your tribulation, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but they are of the synagogue of Satan tonight. You know what, tonight, if somebody ridicules you and they give you a hard time tonight for your faith in Jesus Christ, you can almost be assured that they're not a believer in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You say, what is that blasphemy tonight, preacher? The Greek word is blasphemia. And if you look that up, it's a word that means slander tonight. It'll slander a person. Here at the church at Smyrna, God had nothing against them, but the world had everything against them. Hey, I'd rather be a church that God ain't got nothing against us. Amen? Woo! I'd rather be a church that God ain't got nothing against us and the world be against us than the world be for us and God said, I got something against y'all. That's what I want to be. Can I say more than a church? I want to be a Christian that God ain't got nothing against me and the world got everything against me. Amen? My help don't come from the world. My help comes from the Lord. Amen? So I seen tonight there's a tribulation. There's poverty. There's blasphemy going on. And I wrote this down. If you trying to destroy their reputation, and if this don't hit, man, this is, God hit me with this. They was trying to destroy the church at Smyrna. Oh, Satan didn't want it to be prosperous. It didn't want it to grow. It didn't want it to do. And I wrote this down. If you live long enough, somebody will try to destroy your reputation. I'm not going around this room tonight because there'd be a lot would probably come out, okay? And I don't want to go around the room and ask, is your reputation ever put on the line? But tonight, if you live long enough, somebody's going to try to destroy your reputation. Can I say to you tonight, a Christian person don't try to destroy somebody's reputation. No, sir. You got an alt with a man, you don't blast them on Facebook. You don't blast them out. You go to them, then keep your mouth shut. Right? You handle the problem like it should be handled. You take care of it, and you move on down the road. Because why? Because when you start blasting out and you start slandering and you start doing, that shows how weak you really are and how you can't handle the pressure that comes your way. And tonight, I want you to get this. The Greek word is blasphemia, which is slander. And I wrote, if you live long enough, somebody will try to destroy your reputation, especially, man, this right here, especially as a Christian. The greatest cut to the bone there is when they say, and I thought you was a Christian. So-and-so goes to your church, and I thought he was a deacon. So-and-so, the greatest slander to a child of God is when they say, and I thought you was a Christian. Here, when we get here, there was persecution. But you know what? God said, hey, you've handled it well. You've handled it well. You've took it on the chin. You've handled it well, and you're marching on. Tonight, I want you to know, as this church goes on in 25 more years down the road, persecution will come to this local body. Tribulation will come to this local body. It'll try to starve us out with money here. Poverty will try to come to this door because we're not going to give in to the things of this world. We're not going to teach the world's philosophy. We're not going to line up with the world. We're not going to do what the world says. We're going to do what the Bible says, and we're going to stand on that. And I want you to know tonight, when you do that, tribulation comes like it did at Smyrna. Poverty may come, blasphemy may come, but our help comes from the Lord. Amen? I see tonight there's persecution that's in Smyrna, but as I go on down the list, I've got to share this. There's a prize for the saints that remain. Persecution might come, but there's a prize on the other end. Anybody, there's fixing to be a Super Bowl in a couple weeks, and there's going to be two teams that it's going to play, the 49ers, you know that, and the Chiefs. Nobody that's going to be in that Super Bowl is there because it's been easy. They're going to be there because there's been pressure. There's been a lot go on. There's been a lot of defeat. There's been a lot going on. But listen, at the end of the day, somebody's going to get the prize. And that's the one who's going to handle the pressure and take care of business. And tonight, I want you to know there is a prize for the saints. And as I read this tonight, if you'll read with me here, as I read this tonight, he says in verse number 10, he says, all this tribulation, I love this. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. He's like, it's so easy. He said, hey, all that I just told you about, don't worry about it. You got it, because I'm on your side. Don't worry about it. Whatever the world throws at you, they run your name down, they do whatever, don't worry about it. I got you. He says in verse 10, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil, man, he going to cast you into prison. And you're going to be tried. Tonight, if you're a child of God, you're going to be tried. And you're going to get to a place where Satan's going to want to lock you down and shut you up, close your mouth, and hold you out. He says, and you shall have tribulation 10 days, but be faithful unto death. You be faithful. And I will give thee a crown of life. He said, I will give thee a crown of life. Tonight, as you see the text, what we got going on here, I want to show you five crowns that a man or a woman of God may receive tonight. And tonight I wrote this, the prize for the saints or crowns which shall be rewarded or given at the judgment seat of Christ. At the judgment seat of Christ, the only body will be present is the saved will only be at the judgment seat of Christ. And I want you to know tonight, nobody goes to hell at the judgment seat of Christ. At the great white throne, nobody goes to heaven, everybody goes to hell. The saved don't, we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. The law stands at the great white throne. And tonight, there's going to be given at the judgment seat of Christ where only believers will be present. Crowns are not for salvation. Boy, you can get this mistaught in a hurry. And I've heard it mistaught a lot. And it's not, and it's, listen, it's just Bible. Crowns are not for salvation, but rewarded for the work that is done in this body. Your crown is for the service, not for salvation. You're getting home in heaven from being saved, right? You didn't do nothing to receive salvation. Why should you get a crown? You didn't do nothing for salvation. But it's by grace. For by grace you've been saved. So you've got no reason to get a crown for being saved. Well, I mean, think about that tonight. The work was done on the cross of Calvary. It's a free gift. It's a free gift tonight. And tonight I want to share this with you. I want to go through a few crowns, five crowns. You can look it up, and they may be a bunch more crowns. I believe there's five crowns here that we want to speak about tonight, and I want to share them with you. Number one tonight, and we won't flip through the Bible. I've got the verses there for you. Number one tonight, there is a crown of glory. There's a crown of glory tonight, the Bible says, and that crown of glory is a service crown. That is somebody that works for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They're in the service of the Lord. They're hammering on it. They're staying with it, and they're not giving up. Listen to this tonight. In 1 Peter 5, in verse number 2, the Bible says, Brother, thank you for being a Peter tonight, lined right up with the Word tonight. 1 Peter 5, 2, the Bible says, and this, it could be a service crown, or it could also be a pastor's crown, or it could be somebody that's from the pulpit, but I look at it as a service crown tonight, because he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, shepherd shall appear. He said, I want to give you something. I got a service crown. I want to give those that stay faithful. They teach my word. They preach that book. They stay with it. They don't alter back. They stay with it. They teach class. They teach from the word of God. They stand faithful tonight. You know what? Tonight, if you are a Sunday school teacher in here and you think it's a burden to teach Sunday school, you doggone right it's a burden. Amen? Because there's more going to it than you know tonight. It ought to be a burden because you're sharing the word of God. Look what he says tonight. And when the chief shepherd going to appear, he going to give you a crown of glory that fadeth not away. We have the crown of glory. That's a service crown. There is a crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness. We got the crown of glory. We got the crown of righteousness. Those who look forward to the Lord's return. Those who look forward. You know, there's some Christians that ain't looking forward to his return. They're scared to death that he's going to come back. They got things here they don't want to let go and let go of. I told David Barnes, we was together yesterday evening, I told David Barnes, I said, you don't own nothing, son. I don't own nothing. Me and him got to talk. I said, we don't own a thing. I said, quit paying taxes and see who gets it. Quit paying taxes and your vehicle's gone. You ain't even getting a tag on it. Quit paying your land taxes. You got to move up. You don't own nothing. You don't own nothing tonight. And he says, but for those that love my appearing, waiting on him to come, don't get anchored down here. Don't get yourself anchored down here, because it's going to be hard to prize you away if you love what you got here. I ought to love what's over there more than I love what's here. Look what he says. Those who look forward to the Lord's return, 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, Paul said, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You say, I can get a crown of righteousness because I'm just glad that God's coming back. I guarantee you, that's what the book says. You know, there's some people that's praying that he comes. There's some people that is pleading that he would come. That, come, Lord. In the Revelation, he says, come quickly. Come quickly. Tonight, you got a crown of glory. You got a crown of righteousness. If he came back tonight, would you be ready? Think about that. There's a prize for the saints. The crown of glory. The crown of righteousness. Now, let's look at the third one. The crown of life. To those who love God and faithful. To those who love God and is faithful. To those who love God and faithful. Listen, not to those who love God and successful. Not to those who love God and never messes up. Not to those who love God and never does. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if so-and-so is faithful. Now, my faithful and your faithful is two different things. God says being faithful, loving him and being faithful. He said to those who love God and is faithful. He said, there's something that I'm going to give you tonight. Tonight, I don't know about you, but I thank God that there's going to be something one day that I'm going to be able to cast back at his feet. Said the 24 elders sat around the throne, and what they do, they gave it back. They cast them back. But tonight, I want to have something to cast back at him. Don't you? I don't want to go to heaven empty-handed. I want to have something laid up over yonder that I can give back a little something for what he's done for me. And look at this tonight, the crown of life that he says here. I love this in the book. Here's what he said, the crown of life. To those who love God and faithful, James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. We got the crown of glory. We got the crown of righteousness. We got the crown of life. But number four, there is a crown of rejoicing. That crown of rejoicing is a soul winner's crown. When you lead somebody to Jesus Christ, he does the saving, and we do the rejoicing. There is a soul winning crown. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, he who winneth souls is wise, that tries to share that gospel and wins them to the Lord. You say, preacher, there's a crown for that? Yes, there is. Nothing you do goes unrewarded. Nothing. If you do it for the Lord, he knows it, and you'll be rewarded for it. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. He says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? He told the church at Thessalonica, those that we have won is our crown of rejoicing. I want to share this with you tonight, and this is where I want to stop for just a moment and really explain this crown of rejoicing, this soul-winning crown. I have in my life, and you have in your life, seen people get saved, somebody lead them to the Lord, and that person that led them to the Lord is just as much on fire as that person is. They are. They are. They're bouncing from top to bottom, and you was there during the birth. If you had a child and you was in the room when your kid was born, I mean, you didn't do the work. I mean, the woman did the work. Amen. That's just like Jesus Christ. He's done the work in the birthing. He's done the work in the birthing you into a new life. But you was there. And he said, I'm going to give you a crown of rejoicing. What a blessing. But it's the biggest burden you'll ever face in your life. Lead somebody to Jesus, you're on a mountaintop. Next morning you go to your workplace, you get out in this world, you do whatever, and everything in the world comes against you. I will not call a name, but I talked to a man. And I explained it to him this way. When you lead that person to Christ Jesus and they come to know Jesus Christ, don't you expect for it all to be bed and roses for you. Why? Because you went against the plan of Satan. Satan wants that person to die and go to hell. He don't want that person to go to heaven. And you intervened through the blood of Jesus Christ. You shared the gospel. You shared the good news. Now you've got a target on you like you ain't never had on you. You've got a target on your back because you have received a crown that day. Amen. Glory to God. He can't get your crown, but he sure can't get on your case. So I told the guy this, and I told myself this before I told this guy this. I told myself this years ago. I can either shut up and sit down. That is a choice. Just shut up and sit down, quit telling people about Jesus, and quit trying to win them to Jesus. Or I can speak up and win them to Jesus and just put up with Satan. You got a choice. If you're afraid to witness, it's not because of what you don't know. It's because of what he does know. The greatest attack that will come on an individual is when they try to share the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with somebody. I've been in homes many a times. You go in trying to share the gospel, the phone will ring. That thing ain't rung. That thing's got mold on it, ain't rung so long. Landline, ain't even supposed to be working. Shea Taylor unplugged it years ago, and it starts back working. Come on, somebody. You're in a local body church, and the Spirit is right. I'm talking about you can cut it with a knife and take a piece home with you. And somebody's got to get up and go to the bathroom. Somebody's got to do something. Somebody's done got sidetracked. Somebody's done got something because the Spirit's working on somebody. Don't you think when you get ready to share that he ain't, those Satan ain't ready to rear up and come at you. But he said this, to those that remain faithful, you just keep on doing what God's called you to do. And he said, there's a crown of rejoicing for you. He says this. He says there are the crown of glory, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the crown of rejoicing. And then number five, there is an incorruptible crown. My daughter set out here tonight because I want her to hear this. I want her to hear this. I don't preach it to her at home. Boy, I sure like to. I don't preach it to her at home. But the other day, it's her story, I won't go into it. But the other day she came home from school, I said, baby, how'd your day go? And she started crying. I'm talking about tears flowing down her face. And her mama was sitting there, and we got in the bedroom, and I don't know what it is about our bedroom, that old bed, but she got on the bed, and me and her mama's in the floor, listening to her. She's pouring her heart out. And how she shared Jesus Christ that day. 19-year-old girl, I'm not bragging on her. I'm not bragging on her at all. I'm bragging on Jesus. And she got squalling, telling what the whole logistics of it. And I told her, I said, baby, listen to me. When you share him, get ready. When you share him, you get ready. Why do we share him? Because we're not doing it for a corruptible crown. We're doing it for an incorruptible. We're doing it for a crown of rejoicing. We're doing it because we love him and we want to share him. We want somebody else to come and get in love with him. You know why a lot of Christians ain't under a lot of persecution, ain't in a lot of trouble? Because they ain't sharing Jesus with nobody. They ain't told nobody about Jesus in 50 years and ain't looking to tell them in the next 50. Being blessed ain't telling somebody about Jesus. Handing them a pocket cross ain't telling them about Jesus. It's when you literally open that mouth, persecution is coming. You say, how do you know that, preacher? I seen a 19-year-old daughter sitting on the bed telling me the story with tears flowing down her face, how that she was under persecution. He says tonight that comes our way, but there's an incorruptible crown. Look at verse number five. There's an incorruptible crown. And her mama gave her this. Well, she's just like her daddy. No. Yeah, she is like her daddy, not her earthly daddy. She's like her heavenly daddy. Share it. You stand on that book, and no matter what happens, I'll stand with you. I guarantee you that. You know that. That book won't never lead you wrong. Incorruptible crown. Let me give you this. To he who keeps his body under subjection and finishes the course. Keeps his body under subjection. Come on, man, let's go drink us one. Can't. Why? I'm a Christian. Come on, man, let's go get us a tattoo. Everybody's doing it. I can't. Why? Because I'm a Christian. I can't do that. Come on, man, let's go smoke us one. I can't. Why? Because I'm a Christian. I don't do that. Come on, man, let's go. I can't. Why? Because I'm a Christian. Can't do that. Can't go down that life no more. What do you do if you've already been down that life? You've repented. You're not there no more. You've turned. You're not on that road no more. There's a change. He said, we're running this race for an incorruptible crown. We're running this race that we may be able to give something back to him. And he told that church this morning, he said, I ain't got nothing against you. I love you and you're doing a good job. You just keep on. Here's what he says tonight. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all but one receiveth the prize. And he says, so run. that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Everything in this life is corruptible, but your soul, your spirit, even the body that you have is corruptible. But we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What does that mean, preacher? I'm running for a crown that's not had no corruption. Everything here has corruption, but you can lay up something in heaven that has no corruption. So tonight, I see not only is there persecution in Smyrna, I see not only there's a prize for the saints, but there's a promise from the Savior. There's a promise from the Savior. There's a promise. Look what he says with me tonight, if you will. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. To he that overcometh. He said, preacher, talk to me for a minute. I'm going to talk to you. There's a promise that he gives you. You're different. You're not who you used to be when you got saved. Somebody's moved in. His name's Christ Jesus, the Holy Ghost. Second death has no power over the child of God. The second death has no power over the child of God. Born once, you're going to die twice. Physical birth is all you got, you're going to die twice. Born twice, you're going to die once. Parentheses, unless you're raptured out. Unless you're raptured out, you won't experience that death. Revelation 24:14 says, and he said, those that do, hey, you're going to escape that second death. For that child of God is going to escape that second death. Revelation 20:14, the Bible says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Revelation 21:8, the Bible says, but the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. And all liars. You remember when I told you back at the first of this message, and Revelation is hard for me, I ain't going to lie to you, but I want to go through it. I want to go from the beginning to the end. You remember when I told you at the first of the message that people will slander your character? To slander and to talk bad about you and to run you down, most of the time what they tell, they may have a little truth in there, a little truth, but most of the slander they give you is going to be a lie. If somebody comes up to you and try to entertain to you by talking about somebody, don't even turn an ear on to them. Because you're probably not going to get the whole truth. You're going to get half the truth. And you know why they're coming to you and telling you? Because they ain't got the nerve to go to them and tell them. Amen? It's just true. But he said, out of every one of them that was listed, whoremongers, idolaters, people that are abominable, and they have no, there's nothing about them. They're wicked. They're very wicked. And he said, and all liars. He put the scale as high as you could put it. And then he set it as low as you could set it. And he said, none of these shall enter in. Tonight I want to show you this in the book before we close out. And he was bragging on the church at Smyrna. Let me show you what he says here. He says this. Shall have all these shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I wrote this down, it's on your paper. Just remember, when you're pressed, it will not be long, and you'll be blessed. It won't be long, and there's a blessing coming. It won't be long, and God will open up the floodgates. It won't be long, and he'll give you what you need. It won't be long, and you'll be able to maintain where you need to maintain. You'll be able to do what you need to do. Tonight, the church at Smyrna was pressed, but he said, boy, y'all are blessed. Tonight, if you feel like you're in a press and you're being pressed down, you remember tonight, you're going to be blessed. Today, I went by, Brother Jake knows nothing about it. I went by where he works at and got to see Brother Jake, and when I walked in, man, I got to hurry. Don't run out of time. But I went by today, and Brother Jake was working. And as soon as I walked in, what was you using, Brother Jake? Over there, that thing. Huh? A press. And I said, what are you doing? When I walked in, I said, look at this. I said, man, what are you doing with that? He said, I'm pressing this bearing in there. He was gritting his teeth. Boy, he could tell it wasn't doing good with him. And I said, you pressing that bearing in there? He said, yeah. And I said, has it got to go in there? He said, yeah. Boy, he was pulling on that press and pressed that bearing in there. But the only way that car is going to roll down the road is it had to have a little pressure on it. He pressed that bearing back in there, and he got putting everything back like it should be. Put that tire on that car. Wasn't very long, he's able to back that thing out. Back on the road again. Tonight, we have to go through pressure to make sure that we're going to stay on the road that God's called us to be on. There's a lot of folks, when pressure comes, they get off the track. They get off. Tonight, you might be pressed. But I'm going to tell you one thing, you're blessed. Father, I love you and I thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you for what you do in this local body. Lord, I pray right now as the church at Smyrna, Lord, I pray that be a church that we'd be proud to be here. Lord, one that stands on the word of God, one that stands on what we do here, Father, for you and your kingdom and your righteousness and what you've called us to be. Lord, I thank you for this night. I thank you for what you do in our lives, Lord. I pray for that one tonight that may have come in battling tonight. I pray they go out with no burden, but they go out blessed tonight. And Lord, to know tonight that pressure that comes, that you allow it to go through your hands, Father. And Lord, the only way tonight to get through this life is through the blood of Jesus. And Lord, I pray you bless these people real good tonight. And Lord, I pray you have your will and way. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, all of God's people say, amen. Love on somebody.